Mobile.
TR.
40JC.
Jerry, this is N0TR Mobile with Bernice, and we're headed down to get an orthopedic insert that just come in.
Good afternoon, Tom and Bernice. I didn't catch that last little bit. I think I turned my head the wrong way towards my bad ear, Tom.
A little above your head means you flunked hooked on phonics like me, but it's an orthopedic insert's what I'm going after. I had to call down there, dear, and make sure it come in before they cancel my appointment, and it did, so we got to go over to Hanger Clinic. It's an orthopedic place. They make all kinds of things for artificial limbs and stuff like that. So we're just leaving and headed across town, you might say, Jerry. I looked up your call sign on QRZ for the first time the other day, or the first time today, and seen you're right down there by the lake, aren't you?
100 yards from the shoreline, but I don't have access. I don't have a start on the lake, but that's where I'm down in the hole. I'm only about 7, maybe a little bit over 7 near the lake at full pool time, is 660 above sea level, and I'm about 712 above sea level, so I'm just barely above the lake, and that's one of the reasons where I'm lodging. I got trees on one side of them, and I was looking at the backyard yesterday. I got power lines on three sides of them and two transformers in the backyard and the back corner of the lot, so that's one of the reasons why I think maybe that HF may be something I might ought to think about before I invest any money to match anything in it. But yeah, we've been here for almost 30 years now, and it's a pretty quiet neighborhood. They're building a house next door finally, so... But, neighbors are neighbors, you know that is.
Well, I'd loan you my spare radio, but I don't have it anymore. I sold it to N4WHM down there, Bill. Haven't heard him in a while. Miss him. But I've been staying off the radio a lot lately, and I think you know why. But it's good to hear you this afternoon. Boy, I was watching that... story TV there on 4-4, and they're talking about that Madrid earthquake fault, and that thing runs right underneath Memphis, and a lot of them buildings there are still brick and have a facade kind of put on the front of them to update them, but they're still brick, you know, a lot of them. Now the high rises are built to take it up to 7.7 on the Richter scale, but oh, man, they had a big one back in 1811 or something like that, or 1911, I don't remember, it's a long time ago, 19, Bernice says, and wow, it made the Mississippi run backwards for a little bit there.
Hi, Jerry.
Yeah, I read that. There was a book on that, I think, when the river ran backwards or something like that. I can't remember the exact name of it, but I remember reading a little bit about that. My son, he's an avid reader, and he was telling me about it, but I didn't recall the date. But I do, you know, when you're on a fault like that, it's not a question of if, it's a question of when.
Not as long as that one out in California. It's that one out there is, I think, 770 miles long. And I'll never forget when I was in that carrier squadron. We come into land one day, Jerry, and it was on the weekend. I thought maybe I looked out my portal. It's all I had there. And the captain said, "Look out there, or I'll see what you see." And everybody's out in the middle of the street in their skivvies, in their T-shirt and their skivvy shorts. And I thought, well, they must have had some kind of a big inspection or drug bust or something. We didn't have problems with drugs back in them days. But At any rate, when we got down, we found out they had an earthquake.
We get a few tremors every once in a while. We've heard them. You know, we felt it a time or two here over the years. It's just not as, you know, it's not anything like what they get on the West Coast. But yeah, you know, when those plates shift, they shift, and there's just not much you can do about it. And you never know. You never know what's going on, you know, when something really nasty is going to happen tonight. It didn't take a lot in this area. It didn't take a lot of shifting to do a lot of damage, because most of the, I don't think any of the, you know, maybe the very newest buildings or you know, had that type of support. But I know most of the homes do not have. They're not even tied down. You know, ours is tied down to the foundation. I had them install that on ours just for tornado. Tornado issues. We had a tornado come through here about 15 years ago or so, and it tore up everything on us about a mile from us. And I said, maybe we ought to do something about that. Of course, it would be like Dorothy and Toto, they would be swept away anyway, but you know, at least some of the house might still be around.
Yes, sir. This is N0TR. I've been around the tornadoes, and the darndest one I ever seen, Jerry, was that one in Joplin, Missouri. And Bernice and I flew back up there to visit her sister and my brother-in-law, and that one that occurred, when was it? 2011, I think. It killed 190 people, if I remember rightly. And it was 2 weeks afterwards, and those big trucks, like those Strange Brothers trucks at 12 tons or so, just everywhere you look, there were just lines of them coming out with the debris. And that one was on the ground 6 miles and 3/4 of a mile wide, and couldn't have been any worse with a nuclear bomb. I mean, it sucked the bark off the trees. It took the high school away. It took the hospital away. The cars in the hospital parking lot were stacked up like it was a junkyard. And I had been to that heart center before several times, and it just sucked people out the window, some of them. It was a terrible thing. Wind's over 200 miles an hour. I can't imagine it. But yeah, that was in San Diego that they had that earthquake. But we had, at last count, I remember about 27 here, Jerry, this year.
You feel a tremor every once in a while, not very often. Most time it just, you don't notice, but sometimes you do. And we've noticed them here a few times, but not very often. But yeah, that was a pretty nasty one that came through. Actually, the one that came up through Seneca, up around Keith's area, but that was a pretty nasty one some years back. And we were coming back from Hall one afternoon, and the weather got pretty bad, and I didn't know the tornado watch was out at that time. I was riding my daughter, and we ran through the edge of it. I got a picture of it somewhere I have to show you, but it was a big one. It was, I don't think it ever touched down more than just a time or two, but it was huge. I mean, it was a big one. It was just enough to, you know, to register, but it was real wide though. And if it'd been any worse than it was, it would have killed a bunch of people and done a lot of damage, but it just didn't do much. But we drove through it, not knowing any better. We drove through the edge of it, but you know, if you got a F3 or F4 or something like that, you know, there's not much you can do unless you get down in a culvert and, you know, get up under the road somewhere and crawl in a culvert. Otherwise, it's gonna, you know, and even then it might pull you out.
It's getting that time of year, Jerry. We had one come over, Smelter Street was about 10 blocks, wasn't it? Or Michigan. From us. And we went out in the yard, and I didn't realize I'd been messing with my camera the night before in the dark room, and I had advanced it 3 or 4 clicks, and so I thought there was film in it, and I had Shelly run back in and get the camera. And it was just a nubbin at the time. Then all at once, when it went over a trailer park, it was like a magnet. And it just come right down there, and we started seeing this white stuff go flying up in it. And that was the trailer houses. It just makes you wonder, you know. I realize that they're not built as strong as a house, but that doesn't really matter with F2, 3, or 4 tornado. But it was just ironic. It went through the railroad yards, didn't come down, and then all at once when it got across Rouse Street, which is my name, and there's a street there named that, it just come down just like it knew that trailer park was there.
When we lived in southwest Georgia, we were not too far from the Alabama line. And they had them down there a good bit over the years. Didn't have any bad ones. But had a few touchdown a time or two. But most of the farmers in that part of the state, they always had a, they always had a storm shelter. Because they had been, you know, they've been, for some, you know, it seems like they just come in batches for, you might have two or three in the course of 3 or 4 years, and you might go years, and then you have another batch of them coming through, it seems like. And they always had their storm shelter down where they dug underground, had the doors where you could flash the doors shut and that sort of thing. That was just very common to see those. You'd see the farmhouse, and about 20 yards away, you'd see the storm shelter where you could get in there and when the weather got bad. But yeah, those stick built houses back in the 30s, they weren't a lot better than a trailer as far as construction. Because they just, you know, they come apart just about, with, you know, it didn't take a lot of wind to get those things off the foundations. And, you know, of course, down that part of the country, I'm sure they didn't, I don't think they did this in the Midwest, but in the Southeast, most of the farms, you know, they would raise the house up off the ground and just have it sitting on either, you know, about a 2 or 3 foot foundation. Part of it to keep it cool during the wintertime, I mean, cool during the summertime. And those houses weren't insulated. They usually had a couple of 3 foot fireplaces in them. But you get up under the house, it didn't make any difference. It just, you know, it'd take you away too. But they always had a storm shelter. Most of all the farms did. You see either where they had one or had one at one time, or in some cases it was still there in 4DJC.
Yeah, when I was a kid, we had one between Merle's yard and our yard, our neighbor. But it was never kept up. As a kid, you know, you had to go exploring. And I opened that thing up one time, and I seen a bunch of old mason jars in it. And I looked down in there, and there was 2 or 3 black widows there right by the door. And I decided, no, that place just ain't for me. Mom and Dad had a basement, so it wasn't all that great. But it was a basement. One of those ones, I think it was built after the house was there, because it had like 3 or 4 feet. It come in and then went down from the windows around the crawl space. But my sister had to have that rebuilt later on. But it wouldn't have been much of a protection, except you was below ground level. But we went over there many times to that storm shelter, and the cellars on the farms were quite common up there in Kansas. But the heck of it is, a lot of those tornadoes come at night and you don't have any warning, Jerry, and that's the hard part. But now we're fortunate with all these weather radios and Doppler radars and stuff. That Chris Justice, he just about pinpoints them with that Doppler radar every time that we get one around here. They're not as strong as they were up in Kansas, at least so far. But with this hot weather net coming and the humidity coming, cross your fingers, all I can say.
House where I was raised was in Hartwell, and my daddy built a lot of it. My uncle was a brick mason for Daniel Construction, and they built it back in 46, I think, and it was it had a brick foundation, but they had a basement, and it was just a cellar type thing, and it was below ground and had a heavy door on it, and they had every intention of doing it, going down there, and we did from time to time if the weather got real bad. But we built that house, and there wasn't any plywood or anything like that, so they he called it storm sheeting. So what he did is he had the outside of the house, and I guess I know you've seen it where it wasn't brick on the, it was asbestos siding, which is terrible these days, but it was tough and fireproof back in the 40s. But they called it storm sheeting. They ran diagonal, you know, 1x2s or something like that, diagonal across on both the inside and the outside of the house, in addition to the 2x4s they used and built on 16-inch centers. And that's one of the reasons they can move those houses now, because they're so damn strong. You can move one without tearing all the pieces. Well, nowadays, the thing would probably crumble if you tried to do it. But we felt real safe in that house over the years and never had an issue with anything at all. And it was sturdy, it was small. It was about 1,000 square feet. It was just small and dated on the outside and the inside. But it was a well-built house, because I looked at the plans for it and saw how it was built when we did some work on the inside of it. And of course, they put sheetrock up later on, but they had plaster on the inside early on.
In that shadow of Paris Island here by in Taylor's, it's getting up towards Pleasantburg. I'll be there about a minute or two, and then I'll climb out. But yeah, we had asbestos siding for 100 years, it seemed like, and I finally had vinyl siding put on it. But nowadays, if you take that siding off, which is good siding, but if you take it off, it's got to go to a hazardous waste place.
Somebody got an APRS on. Yeah, now you can take it off in Georgia. When my brother passed away, we could have taken it off the house and left it out, left it out for them to pick it up. But you had to be cautious with it. My first cousin was in the building industry for 50 years, I guess, and he told me, he said, as long as you keep it painted and don't disturb it, he said, it's not a problem. But when you start doing stuff to it, he said, that's when it becomes an issue. And yeah, the odd thing about it at the time is this hardy plank, I think Giles Mamble makes it, I'm not sure, hardy plank siding, which is basically the same thing, because all asbestos, it didn't have about 1% asbestos in it. The hardy plank is concrete siding too. You have to be just as cautious dealing with it as you do with the asbestos type, because the dust. You have to paint the edges and all sides of it, all that sort of thing. But it's sturdy, but you still got to paint it every 10 or 15 years, just like you would asbestos siding.
So that's what that noise is. I thought it was noise off the tower from another transmitter, or somebody with some high-powered VHF stuff. I was trying to think Intermod. But I forgot all these big words nowadays, Josh. Yeah, we're at Pleasantburg Drive. We should be out of that, up here by this big cemetery and the Red Lobster, and headed west. Well, I guess all we can expect is warm weather. Now, it was nice this morning. It was 59 degrees in our place this morning.
Right after I talked to you, it was still nice and breezy out there. It was hot, but kind of thing, and watered the side and a couple other areas too, just to make sure it doesn't dry up too much. It's starting to green back up again now, but we need some just plain old rain with all the good minerals and stuff in it. Nothing beats natural rainwater for keeping a lawn in good shape. I was just about crackly and crunchy when you walk on it now, though, and I just can't. Water down here is so expensive that you just can't afford to water it without having a $200 water bill. But you got that thing, it was as long as the breeze was blowing, it was pretty decent. We didn't stay out there more about 20 minutes. So we'll go back after the sun starts heading down. We got a little shade in the yard then, and we'll go. I did want to mention, I do have an HF rig. This 705 does have HF capability, but I just didn't want to go to the expense of an antenna, because I figured it probably had nothing but a plain old waste to try it out in 4DJC.
Well, Jerry, a modern radio man, you might not have any trouble. I'd give it a try, even if you just put up a dipole or something. I like the Carolina Windhams if you had room. But and it's grass through your lawn, why don't you just run a big long hose down there to the lake?
If it is, but we had a full acre on Lake Hartwell that we sold back in 2005. My dad bought it back in the 60s. He was a rural mail carrier, and one of his patients on his route has some property out there for sale, and he bought it for next to nothing. We had almost 500 feet of waterfront. Had our own private boat ramp, which is the only three on the lake, you know, other than the public ramps. And we had a dock permit, was number 27 or something like that. It was the early one. I mean, there's only 26 people before us that even put a dock on Lake Hartwell that time. I sold it for more money than I ever thought I would back in 2005. But my dad would have a garden up there in the away from the house, you know, on the private line rather than the core line. He has electric ran down, electrical, you know, stuff run down to the telephone pole down there. It had a like one of your day, you know, night light deals from like Duke Power does here. And we had receptacles out there, so he'd take it. He had an electric generator, electric water pump down. He put it down there and take it out of the lake and water his garden with it. And we'd have to hide it, though, because the core doesn't like you doing that, evidently. But you said that, I said, don't, we find, you know, us cheapskates find ways of doing things. You know, sometimes it may be on the shady side of legal.
Yeah, George, my brother-in-law, he's supposed to get some kind of permit just to pump the water out of his own personal pond up there to use for watering the garden and that. And he said, the heck with that, and they just... They knew a good electrician that was able to go down there and put out a real nice metal halide lamp or high pressure sodium, I don't remember which, kind of like a street light, and ran electricity down at the dock for him. Of course, that wasn't me because I wouldn't do anything like that, Jerry.
I know that. We had a nice picnic table, you know, one that we'd built, my dad had built. I helped him out with my dad had built it and made a nice heavy wood. And it was, we'd taken some small creosoted poles down there that we got from the telephone company that were near. And we cut them off and we took a post hole digger down there, power digger, and dug a hole in it. Since there was posts in the ground, this table was about 12 feet long. We had fish fries down there, and we had a big family. All the family was still living back in those days' time. In the 60s, we had big family get-togethers and had fish fries and all kinds of things like that. And so the core, there was a good friend of Dad's. And they were, my dad was in the railway battalion in World War II, and this guy was a friend of his. And so, you know, eventually the railway battalion became part of the Corps Engineers, so he had the Corps markings on his CBI theater stuff when they sent him a bunch of medals later on, years after the World War II was over. And it went on fine with all that Rangers. That when they changed Rangers, they came down there and said that we had to take a chainsaw, Tom, and just cut. We didn't dig them, but we had to take a chainsaw and cut the legs so you could move the table there. You know, because you can't have anything permanent on core property. You know how that is.
Yeah, it's kind of like the FAA you were happy when you're unhappy. About the same with the court.
We had a tree fall after my dad had passed. We had a tree fall down there. We still had property then, and it was a big tree that fell over. I mean, just roots and all. And I was going to get it cut. He's on core property. I was going to get it cut. He's going to pull the stump out of that, too. The stump was, when it fell over, the stump was at least 6 feet in diameter. So, I mean, it was huge, you know, just laying on the side. Had some young ranger in, come down there, and she told me, she said, now, you can cut this tree, remove this tree, but she said, you're going to have to cut off and got to roll the stump, the root ball back into the place. You can't take it out. And I said, well, I said, that does it for me then. I said, it can just sit there until you guys do it then. And she looked at me like I was crazy. But I had to spend $800 to take a tree apart and then to leave the stump sitting down there, too. That's nuts.
good game wardens, and I've met some not so good game wardens, but I never did get in trouble or anything like that, but I just made it a point to know them all, whenever we went out to the game refuge and hunted and places like that. Well, Jerry, I'm right downtown here near the new government building. I better let you go, because we're going to be approaching the point of origin here, or destination, very quickly. And there's getting to be more traffic than I like. Take care, Jerry. Nice talking to you this afternoon. N4DJC N0TR Clear.
Please have a nice afternoon. Talk to you later. 73. Enjoyed it as usual. N0TR N4DJC Clear.
KO4NUE Mobile.
For HKX, what's up, Chad?
What's up, boss man? How you doing today?
I'm doing good and enjoying a beautiful day. How about yourself?
It's starting to get a little warm out there, isn't it?
Yeah, just a little bit.
So far?
I won't say it's a great day, but all in all, I'm above dirt and I'm enjoying the day.
Well, if dirt, then, you know, ain't much you can complain about, right?
That's it. So what you out doing today?
Picked up an antenna. We had an antenna donated to the club, so I went up to Tryon Estates and picked it up, so I'm taking it back to the house.
So what did you think of that antenna launcher I sent you?
It's got quite a kick to it, but that'll do it.
Watch some of the other videos that they have out with that thing.
You could experiment with the size of the can, I guess. You could use one of those half cans and probably get a little more ice out of it.
I guess having too much trouble as it was.
Right. You figure out how to get a string on it, you got it made.
Those are pretty neat, though. It's an air rifle, is what it is. And they make them in semi-automatic, automatic, and in that soda can launcher that I sent you. That thing would be crazy. But I think they're crazy on the pressure that they'll shoot out of it. They'll shoot a 50 caliber projectile, so you can go big game hunting with them.
Yeah, roger that. They got some pretty heavy-duty air rifles out there that will do, some pretty crazy stuff. But I did watch it. That was pretty neat, and I might have to consider that.
And that might spark an interest in you somewhere.
Yeah. So what else you got going on today? Anything?
Today, and then just trying to make the best of what we got and enjoy the day. I know it, you said, though, it's getting a little warm.
Yeah, I went up there and got that antenna. I've got fiberglass all over me. Said I wasn't going to do it, but did it anyway.
Fiberglass and heat don't mix.
And me, period, don't mix. Don't matter if it's hot or not, I just, that stuff tears me up.
I remember working for my uncle and having to crawl under houses or in attics and around everything and get insulation all over you. Man, I would put gloves on and duct tape them to my long sleeve shirts trying to keep that stuff off of me.
But it didn't get it all, did it?
Nope. But duct tape turned upside down will start pulling it out before you get in the shower. So it does help do that too. But it also thins the hairs on your arm.
But I'll try the duct tape trick. But I got it on my right arm pretty bad. I've already started to swell up a little bit. I'm allergic to that stuff. I don't know why, but it just does a little more, make me itch.
Produces little red welts all over me when I get into it.
Yeah. Well, have you had a busy day?
Really? Something's been going on my Tuesday over here anyway. It's been slow for the last couple of weeks. I just don't know what's going on. Shops have been slow, so I don't know if it's just part of what's going on around us or just this area going through a spell. It's like these routes. You'll get busy in one area and then slow in the next, and it's just a constant cycle.
Well, I hate that. Maybe it'll pick up, but I hadn't done much here today, I guess. Well, I've done a lot of the house and stuff in the house. I took care of some things that needed to be done in the house, and then I've been waiting around to the right time to go up there and get this thing, so I got it, and I'm almost back home with it 30 minutes early, so that's good.
First lady will be happy with that one. She can put you back to work.
Yeah, well, I don't mind, I don't guess. I mean, I gotta live in there too, so I might as well do my part.
I just never know if she's listening, so we'll try to drag her out every now and then.
It's toward the end of the school year. They got about 2 weeks left. And I think all the teachers are kind of like a mule at the end of the day. They just, they can see the feed barn, and they ready to quit. So she's about to pull her hair out, trying to keep them motivated for another 2 weeks. But I don't think it's working too good.
Oh, Roger that. My wife works for the school system, too. And it's pretty comical, some of the stuff she comes home and tells me that goes on. And just like, wow, never would have thought of that, or never would have happened when we were in school.
Yeah. Well, all right, bud. Well, listen, I just pulled in the driveway, so I'm going to duck on out and say 73s. I hope you have a good day and a good rest of the day. Be safe. And I'll talk at you later. That's KO4NUE. Clear.
73, Chad. Good talk to you today. KO4HKX. Clear.
For SSN, KG4OHU.
Go ahead, KG4OHU.
I'm clear. How come?
Good. What antenna are you using?
Along with that extended rubber duck antenna.
You sound pretty good. I can understand you. There's a little bit of background noise. Stay on this frequency.
Exactly. I'm probably about halfway done. The rest of it won't be like that.
Couldn't actually understand that last transmission.
Yeah, I've got to say, at this point, it's halfway done. And, most is downhill from here, so not sure. Maybe it's back to the car.
Going, are you declining because you are getting in a hole? It's hard to understand you.
That's a high point. That's a solid one.
Just let me know when you're done. Clear.